Because if you don't respect the Bible teacher, then you will not be able to communicate the truth to the people. How can they respect what he says if they don't respect his person? And here were the nation Israel. They were the priests in the nation Israel had come to a low. They had not honored God. They did not love God. They turned his table and they polluted his table. They offered blemished animals. How can the people respect him? How can they respect what he says? In verse 8 and 9, Malachi goes on. He says, "But you have departed from the way, and you have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law." It's an interesting passage of Scripture. I probably could spend many weeks on it. We won't do that, but there's a lot here. The messengers of the Lord are to teach the Word of God as he has revealed it, so that the people can understand it and use it in their lives. Malachi says, "You have departed from the way. You have departed from the way." That word departed is an interesting word. It's the word soar, S-O-O-R, soar. It means to turn away, to go away, to desert, or to quit, or to keep far away, to stop or depart. What's interesting, see, you don't just all of a sudden stop doing what you're supposed to do. It's a slow process. You never jump in it with both feet. The priest didn't start offering polluted sacrifices and bread that was contemptible to the Lord. It was a slow process that began. Well, you turn to Leviticus chapter 1, verse 16. Leviticus 1, 16. It's an interesting passage of Scripture. Here, the priest... In this passage, are preparing the turtle doves or the pigeons for sacrifice, and the first thing that the priest did was he twisted the neck of the animal until it came off. That's the first thing he did. All right, he killed the animal by wringing its neck, and then he says he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part, by the place of the ashes. Now that's an interesting thing. The word pluck away, you see that word? It's the same word that's translated departed back in Malachi 2:8. Plucked away. Probably not many of you have plucked the feathers from a chicken. Any of you do that? Not many of you. So a couple of you have done that. When I was young, we had we lived in a little alley, and dirt road, and we were at the end of the alley, and we had a little shed out back that we made into a chicken coop. And my grandmother would often go out there and get a chicken and cut the head off. And she didn't wring it off, but she cut it off, and then we would pluck the feathers, and she would let us pluck the feathers. And if you know how they did that, they get boiling water and you dip the chicken in. And you know how many feathers you pull out at a time? Not very many. Not very many. It's a little bit at a time. Pluck away, pluck away, pluck away. That's what the priests were doing. See, they didn't just all of a sudden get to this position. It was a little bit at a time. They kept plucking away, missing the mark, not teaching the word, just overlooking the blemishes and the polluted bread, and not communicating the truth. They were lazy in that sense. So they started small, but they kept getting big. It's also interesting that the word crop, he says his crop, his feathers, with his feathers. Do you know what the crop is? The crop is it starts in the neck and goes to the stomach. It starts with the esophagus and goes all the way down to the stomach. It's that which takes in the food and takes it to the stomach where it can be used. And it's interesting that this is how it's used here. It's sort of that idea that the food passes from the mouth and then into the stomach through the esophagus, And that's the way it is. And this word is only found here in the Old Testament. But preachers who pluck away a little of the truth at a time begin to affect the hearer's ability to take in food. Now, I know that's interpretation, but it's interesting. These two words are said here, that in the crop, they take away the crop too. So they're pulling the feathers out. They're just a little bit at a time, but they're also taking the crop away, so the people are not being able to take in the food into their mouth and bring it in the stomach where it can be used. The truth departed from them. It was not coming out of them any longer. This is what preachers are doing today. This is not something new. Just a little bit. We'll have a verse or two, and I'll say a few things about it, and then we'll go on to something else. Departing from the word, just a little bit at a time, and it just starts that way. We don't want to. We want people to come in. We people have itching ears, and we try to satisfy that. Preachers try to satisfy that. Most believers don't recognize what's happening because it's just a little departure at a time, just a little bit at a time, and all of a sudden you realize that you're not where you're supposed to be. A little bit at a time. That's what the priests were doing. So what happens? What happens when the messengers depart from the truth? Well, he tells us, they cause many to stumble. Stumble means to stumble or to stagger or to totter. That reminds me of that same little alley where we used to pluck the chickens or the feathers from the chickens. We lived in there were three houses, and I can remember one of them was a coal miner. And on Fridays, the coal miners got paid. And he always stopped at the bar, this one man, on the way home. And when by the time he got home, he was staggering up the street. I mean, he'd stumble, he'd fall, and we'd all get out, and we'd all laugh and make fun of him. You know what I mean? Stand on his own 2 feet. As little boys, we thought that was funny, but I don't think that's funny anymore. And more important, God didn't think it was funny that these people had departed from the truth and caused many to stumble too. As God looked at it and he saw the people and he saw that the priests were to communicate the truth that from their lips to the people, and then he saw that they weren't doing that and they were causing the people to stumble. It wasn't a funny thing. See, I see believers who've stumbled because the preachers have plucked away the truth a little bit at a time. Who's responsible for that? Well, of course, the leaders are responsible. It's the priests and the preachers and the Bible teachers. They cause people to stumble. Here he says, at the law. Literally, that's the word Torah means law. We know what the Torah is. That's the Old Testament law. And the scriptures, the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, the Torah. But it also, the word Torah means instruction. And what you have here, you don't see it in the King James, but you have the little word "your" here. It's your Torah or your instruction. The Bible, the Torah, did not belong to the priests. And so I think that what he talked about, he says they stumble at your instruction. As you're communicating, as you're instructing them, you're telling them what they ought to do, and you're not following it, and they're not following, they're following you. They're doing the same things you do. They have corrupted the covenant of Levi. See, he went back to Levi and he said, this is what you ought to look at. You ought to see how Levi conducted himself. You've drifted far away from that. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi by accepting defiled sacrifices and teaching, not teaching the truth. They violated the covenant that God established with Levi. Nehemiah said the same thing in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 29. Here's what Nehemiah said. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. See, they broke the covenant. They did not keep the covenant. The covenant with Levi was to bring life and peace. That's what he told us in Malachi 2:5. It's to bring peace to Israel. Now the people of Israel took the priest, or looked upon the priest with contempt. It's interesting, Malachi mentions three covenants in this chapter. He mentions the covenant of Levi. In chapter 2, verse 10, he mentions the covenant of the fathers. And then in verse 14, he mentions the covenant, the covenant of marriage. And we're going to be looking at that in detail as we go down through, that they have departed from that also. Now the reason that I have made you contemptible and base before the people, he tells us in the next statement, is because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. We could spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to give you a couple of verses in this, but there. In the wrong direction. All right, Deuteronomy 1:17. That's where we want to be. God is quite clear about partiality. In Deuteronomy 1:17, bring to me and I will bear it, and I will hear it, God says. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19, he says, ye shall not pervert justice, ye shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Don't show partiality. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 7. It says this, now therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. You shall take care and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God. No partiality, nor taking of bribes. I have a couple more. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. Proverbs 23 says, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. And here were the priests, and they were showing partiality. James writes about this, as you're well aware of, in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Let me read it to you. I want to read the whole passage and see it in its context. He says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into their courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the law of the transgressor. I told you a couple of months ago, I guess it was, that one of the big churches down south, they got a new pastor, and he hadn't been introduced to the people. They were looking for a pastor, and he was going to bring his message to them and decide whether they wanted him. That morning, there was a man outside dressed like a beggar. I mean, he had a beard and his hair was straggly and he had old clothes on. And he tried to talk to people and people didn't want to talk to him. And he finally went inside, and he went down front and sat down front, and some of the ushers came down and put him in the back of the church. And when the deacons got up, or the elders got up to announce their new pastor, the one that was going to candidate, they called back to that man, and he came forward. Could you imagine the embarrassment of the people? Partiality. God says it's sin. And here the priests were showing partiality. It is clear that God does not tolerate that among his people. In the past or in the present. Today he does not tolerate any more than he did back then. The priest started with accepting blemished animals and kept drifting further and further away from God's purpose for them to communicate the truth. The slide down the hill is always easy. You know what's hard? Going back up. It's a lot better not to start down the slide than to start down and then try to make your way back up. The priests have fallen down. Now they have to turn around. And God's warning them. If they don't, what's going to happen to them? Now, that ends this section. We looked at Malachi. The first oracle was verses 2 to 5. Respond to God's love. That's what he was calling for. In the second, they were to honor God. Of course, they didn't do that. That's from chapter 1, verse 6 to chapter 2, verse 9. Now he goes to the third oracle, and he says, be faithful as God's covenant people. It's sort of an abrupt, right in the midst of this thing, he just stops all of a sudden. Now he changes the subject. See, when men start down the slide, it just takes you to the next step down, and you keep going down. It's a slippery slope, and you get further and further away from God. The priests fail to recognize God's love. They fail to honor him. And without love and honor, the priests slip further away in their duties. They didn't even observe the law themselves. They broke it. As leaders go, so go the people. And if the priest did not observe the law, the people would not observe the law. So this section addresses both the people and the priest. He's going to deal with both of them here. Up until this point, he's been dealing with the priest. Now he's going to be talking to the people. And they have drifted away because as the priest did, so did they. Malachi follows the same type of argument, except he changes it just a little bit. You remember, he asked a question first, or he made a statement, then he asked a question. He says, I have loved you. And they ask, how did you love us? You've dishonored me. How have we dishonored you? Now he changes that, and he starts out with asking a series of questions. The article begins, and they all relate to the subject of marriage. In contempt of the marriage covenant which God instituted, the Jews put away their wives in order to marry foreign women. Marrying foreign women was forbidden by God to the nation Israel. They were not to marry people outside the Israelites. There was a family thing. In Exodus chapter 23, let me go on. I have just a couple of minutes here, but let's get to starting. In Exodus 23, verses 31 to 33, he says this, and I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hands, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant, which includes the covenant of marriage. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Now drop down, if you move over to Exodus chapter 34 with me. Exodus chapter 34, verses 12 to 16. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. And you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make you sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take, now notice this, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. We need to protect the land, God says. You cannot take foreign women. You can't take the daughters of these other nations and make them your wives. Deuteronomy, I'll finish with this. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 to 4, goes this way. When the Lord your God brings you in the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. Why would he destroy all the people in the land? That land was a promised land. That land was to be a holy land. These people were not holy people. They were idol worshipers. God says, we're going to purge them all out. You kill them all. You destroy them all. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you utterly. See, it was not only unlawful to marry these foreign women. It was also important for the Israelites to marry other Israelites, Jewish women. That assured that the land that God had promised them would remain within the Jewish families. And God did not look upon that lightly. And what you have at this time in Israel's history is that they were marrying foreign women. You can understand that. Here's a man who had his wife for 20 years and she's getting a little haggard. I mean, this is, and he sees a pretty young foreign girl. He says, wow. I'll get rid of my wife. I'll marry her. And that's exactly what they were doing. And God says, that's not right. That's not right. Well, we'll look at that, finish it up next week. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your instruction. Father, may we remain faithful to your word. May I, as the pastor, remain faithful to teaching the truth to each one here. And Father, may we not slide down that slippery slope just a little at a time, but we might honor your word and use it in our own lives, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.